Have drum lessons at the Drum Den, Siren Sisters' first dedicated drum studio. Tim Downs Hall has been teaching for 30 years and offers lessons in most styles ranging from punk to swing. Lessons are friendly and relaxed, and Tim also teaches cajon and percussion styles. Please give him a ring on 078 860 37014. Drum Den!
Order! Order! Please be seated for Pancast Movie Court.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Movie Court, the only podcast where you are the jury. Before we crack on with this week's episode, let's give you the verdict for the last episode, which was Top Secret by the lovely man Rob Grace. We'll start off with just a couple of people that gave us their verdicts. Stu Grant from Birmingham gave us another wonderfully long email. So I've just taken a few little bits from it. He said, from the outset, you know exactly what you're going to get with this movie. A ridiculous plot full of one-sight gags after another. It makes no secret of its intentions. Overall, this film has its merits as well as reasons to vote against it. But I, for one, especially given the case for defence and prosecution, almost agreeing that this film should be found innocent, am voting not guilty. Happy with that one, Neil?
Yes. Fair? Yeah, very.
And Sandrine France Baker from Cheltenham said, it is a rare occurrence, but I am compelled to put fingers to keyboards and join the debate, if there can really be one, about this one, if not the best comedy movie of all time. Listening to the discussion and clips, I'm reliving the film and laughing out loud as I type. She said she quite likes the fact that it's a cult film, appreciated by those of us who are in the know that also like Clerks. And she said, cheers for a most enjoyable podcast. And she couldn't find a copy of Top Secret. She's had to place an order with a well-known online supplier of such things. So I think we should get a cut of that. We should get some royalties.
Oh.
Some commission.
Hear, hear.
And of course, her verdict was not guilty. So the actual verdict for Top Secret is...
not guilty.
That's right, not guilty. So unlucky, Neil.
No, I agree.
But you completely agree.
No, I totally agree.
That was a tough one for
it
you,
wasn't
it?
It was very hard. I really struggled with that, and that's why I tried to go from it from a different angle, if you remember.
You did. You probed and probed, but yeah, nothing came.
Excuse me.
And let's start as we mean to go on. Right, onto this case. The court is in session. Lovely. The defence are going through their briefs, and the prosecution has been glued to Sky TV getting tips from Jerry Nell. Do you know who Jerry Nell is?
Are we talking Pistorius?
Yes, well done. Did you know who Jerry Nell was?
I knew exactly who Jerry
Nell
was. Well, no, I lie. I guessed, by the way, you're saying Sky News, and given that you're a very topical podcast company. Well,
this is it. We are as topical as they come. Really? So, let's first introduce the defence. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome to the shed once again, Cam McGregor.
Yay!
How are you doing?
Second visit.
Second visit.
Well, this is my third visit, if we don't count production meetings.
Well, this is it. This is it. Now, you're all ready. You have your case prepared.
I've got an iPad with my case on. Yeah, I'm ready.
That's very
good. I've got an unidentified 7-inch tablet available from all good retailers. Of course, if you do buy the iPad Mini, don't forget to mention Pancast at the till for no money off.
Absolutely. You'll get absolutely... In fact, nothing. They'll probably put money on.
Yeah,
probably. They'll probably just say, what? What? Get out of here.
And... we have the Pancast prosecutor, the solicitor of celluloid, the barrister of the blockbuster. It's Neil.
Ahoy, hoy, ladies and gentlemen.
So how are you feeling tonight, Neil? Are you feeling confident?
Hopefully, yes. Actually, yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I do, actually.
That's good, because at the moment, you're 2-1 down.
Well, one of them was a given. Top Secret, that was too hard.
Okay.
I'm not even prepared to justify that I should be guilty.
That's fair enough.
Didn't you?
I tried.
You didn't win Love Actually, did you? Or did you?
I should have.
Yeah, no. Love Actually was the one that was quite sort of split down the middle, but he just lost on that one.
What's wrong
Forces
with
Forces of Nature. Forces of Nature was the one that you won, and quite handsomely you won.
And Love Actually. What's wrong with everyone?
Love Actually.
For God's sake.
Right. So, Cam, as you have come in to Movie Court with your case, can you please tell the world what movie you are going to defend?
It was my guilty pleasure on my movie heaven. It's Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Right. So we should now go to the Clark Kent of the court to give us a little rundown on Mamma Mia.
These are the facts of the case for Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia, released in 2008. Written by Katherine Johnson, directed by Felidia Lloyd. Starring Meryl Streep, Pierce Brosnan, Colin Firth, Stellan Skarsgård, Amanda Seyfried. With a budget of $52 million and the box office worldwide $609,841,637. In December 2008, Mamma Mia became the highest grossing film of all time in the UK, smashing the previous record set by Titanic. Avatar has since beaten that record. At the start of the Dancing Queen scene, the picture on Meryl Streep's bedroom mirror is Amanda Seyfried's professional headshot. At the end of Our Last Summer, Donna is holding a collection of photos, including an actual baby picture of Seyfried. Director Felidia Lloyd also directed the original Broadway play. Donny Osmond was considered for the role of Sam. This was the first film shot on a new 007 soundstage at Pinewood Studios following a fire after Casino Royale in 2006. The new stage was used for song and dance numbers that could not be filmed in the sun in Greece. These are the facts of the case, which I present to the court.
Thank you very much, Clark Kent of the court. Right, before we start, Cam, and before you give us your opening statement, where does Mamma Mia lie in your sort of whole range of films that you enjoy? I know that you said it was your guilty pleasure.
It's in my top 10.
It's in your top 10?
Probably in my top 5.
Right, and when was the first time that you saw this movie?
About a year, probably a year after it came out in cinemas. Sort of probably 2009 when I was, yeah.
Right, okay. And obviously you are a very, how shall I put this, extrovert theatrical. And theatrical kind of person. So you obviously you like musicals.
Yes, love them.
Okay.
Although in fairness, I'm not a massive fan of musicals on screen, but Mamma Mia got it right.
Right.
Ooh, we'll find out more about that.
Them's a fighting words. Okay.
Put them up.
Can we please have the opening statement for the defence? Cam, the floor is yours.
Call it what you will, a chick flick, a feel-good film, 109 minutes of lovable comedy, cheesy and utterly mind-blowing, sexually charged shite. But it's brilliant. Mamma Mia is stunning. The perfect way of showing people that huge stage shows can be successfully transferred to silver screen. It's a feel-good movie at its best. It can be moving and upsetting at times, and the plots at other points can always have stomach-crunchingly funny moments. Mamma Mia, my friend, is amazing, and I think this is the case that you'll not be able to argue that Mamma Mia is in fact one of the best musicals of all time, if not the best.
Sharp intake of breath there.
Interesting.
The court has gone silent with that blockbusting opening statement there from the defence.
So much so, I'm going to have a quick swig of water.
You can have a quick... I think we can see the beads of sweat running down Neil's forehead panicking. Now. He's panicking. He's thinking, I'm not going to get paid. So, are you ready? The prosecution.
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, please be seated.
Right, oh, he's sitting himself.
Yes. So let's see, is Mamma Mia a guilty film? Yes. I understand.
Case closed, thank you very much.
I understand it's a guilty pleasure, but it's actually guilty for being a poor film. Now, I say yes it is. Now, on the grounds that as a stage musical it probably works, but on film it falls short as most of the actors seem to be typically trying to ham it up. You see them clambering to be seen on the screen. They seem to be acting as if they're on the stage, which makes it feel laboured and tired. And to win this case right now, ladies and gentlemen, all I have to do is mention two words. Pierce Brosnan.
Is that it?
That is it.
Well, on that bombshell,
It's not time to end it.
It's not time to end it. No, no. Thank you very much. Is that both of your opening statements, though?
Yes. Yeah, that, I'm happy with mine.
You're happy with yours. And you're happy with yours, Neil?
Yep.
Which, in theory, you could have got rid of that last 3 minutes and just said Pierce Brosnan. I'm not trying to sway the court.
No, but I just needed to build a little other case. I think you should. Before I dropped a big bombshell.
I think you should. Okay. Now, before I've got some evidence, so I've got some clips that I want to play. Before I do that, the big question after watching this film again, I've not watched it for a while, but after watching it, the big question that I have is Meryl Streep hot in this film?
Meryl Streep appears to me to be in this film. It looks like she could have been a straight woman that's turned lesbian.
Okay, is that just because of the dungarees?
No, just because she's a bit lost, I think.
Really?
Right. She seems a bit...
Well,
because as I pointed out in my opening statement, this film is purely based on sex.
Absolutely, yeah, as one of my clips will show.
And she's totally promiscuous, or was.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Well, I look at her and I think, now, how old would she have been? She's mid-60s now? Is she mid-60s?
No, I'd say early 60s, late 50s.
No, yeah. She's early 60s. She's around De Niro's age, isn't she?
Yeah, so. because the one thing about her with all of her films is that you never seem to have put an age on her.
No.
You know?
But she did look actually quite hot in that, actually.
And I think that the long blonde hair, and I thought she.
My focus was on Amanda Seyfried.
Well,
just saying.
I thought you were going to say Dominic Cooper.
I'd be concerned if it was, mate.
Right, let's get some order in the court here now. I just wanted to throw that out there because I was looking at it and I thought that she looked very attractive.
Well, let's just say that is a not guilty pleasure of yours.
Right, okay.
Okay, you can have that one. I wouldn't grumble or prosecute you for that.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Neil.
That's all right. Just being very legal.
Let's. Oh, she's definitely legal. Yeah. That's one thing.
I'm far beyond it, mate.
Right then, let's go for some evidence. The first clip I've got here, I've put down as dot, dot, dot. So let's listen to that.
July 17th. What a night.
I don't know if I want to hear this.
I do.
Sam rode me over to the little island. That's here. That's Calcare. We danced on the beach and we kissed on the beach and dot, dot, dot.
The plot thickens. August 4th. What a night.
Bill rented a motorboat and I took him over to the little island.
Bill! Sophie, wait!
Hang on! No, I'm still obsessed with Sam. Bill's so wild. He's such a funny guy. One thing led to another. And dot, dot, dot!
August 11th, Harry turned up out of the blue. So I said I'd show him the island. He's so sweet and understanding, I couldn't help it. And dot, dot, dot!
Honey.
But Meryl's a bit of a slut.
She was.
Isn't she? That's terrible.
Yeah, I was going to talk about this later on, but yeah. I will talk about it now, happily. What sort of role model is that, where she has absolutely no idea which one is the father? That means she must have slept with all three of those within, let's say, a 24-hour period.
What you've got to bear in mind is it's not about role models, because the fact that Sophie didn't know until she found the diary when she was clearing out Mum's room.
No, but,
or Mom's
yeah, but
room.
Then it all comes out and the whole film is based around Meryl.
Well, on that,
basically was a hussy.
Yeah, on that clip, one was August the 4th and one was August the 11th. So she was doing them one a week.
Yeah. Well, that's what we assume. I mean, she could have had all three of them in 24 hours and other people could have been.
She could have done. Oh, okay, my second clip, this is Loose Women, basically. God damn!
Can I
noise.
Ask a question straight away on that clip? Julie Walters in this film, was she just pissed all the way through it?
Yeah, I think she was. Yeah,
yeah. Was she supposed to be?
That
pissed?
Was the idea.
All right.
Is that part of the of that?
Well,
the
have you is, seen it on stage? Cameron?
I think. Well, I think the second. No, I haven't seen all it on right. stage. I want to see it on stage. Don't get me wrong. But I think the thing with Julie Walters is for a bit of it. Well, up until like when they get in the house and when just before they do Money, 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 she's not that drunk. From that point onwards, she's
a complete lush.
She's just always got a bottle of drink in her hand.
That clip is from when they first get on the island.
They sound pissed.
Yeah,
right. But okay, we'll move on to the third clip. And this, obviously, they're three women that are all massive friends. They all love each other. So, of course, they're going to be nice to each other.
You look fantastic. You look like an old hippie.
You look like an old hippie.
Who shouted that?
That's the other one. Not Meryl Streep. Oh, the not plastic Julie Walters.
Surgeon.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's not a plastic surgeon. Yeah, she's a received lot. A lot of plastic
And
surgeon.
I love that so much that I'm going to keep that.
You look like an old hippie.
I'm just going to keep that one.
You look like an old hippie.
I just love that.
I could live with that.
That's just great. And obviously, another way of finding out that that Meryl's, you know, she's a little bit...
of a slut.
Of a slut, was she's always going on about it as well.
Oh, my God. I got a crack in my courtyard. I got to fix it.
There you go. Yeah. She's got a crack in her courtyard and she's got to fix it. But we need to find out which one of them it was that did fix that crack.
Well, whoever bought their ready-made polyfiller.
Exactly. And then the final clip, we can't go. Now, I trawled everywhere to try and find a good clip of Pierce Brosnan singing. And I managed to find one that was part of the rehearsals.
Right.
Where he tried so hard to keep the notes going. But just listen, he just unfortunately just falters at the end. So...
You know, I'm free and I'm single. And it's great.
Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find. I try to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good.
Oh, he just gave up at the end there. It just sounds like a foghorn. Bless him. Bit of a cheap shot. Sorry, Pierce.
Ladies and gentlemen, my case is won. What now, more?
Please, I am not trying to sway the court in any way. They are the clips. They are the evidence that I have in front of me.
They're tampered with.
No. That was just straight out of the studio. Unfortunately, he just couldn't hold that note and he just ended up... sorry, Piers. Anyway, we shall now move on to the cross-examining of this particular case. Now, have you got some cross-examining questions for the prosecution?
Well, I've got a couple.
Cam. Okay.
Right. Okay. So a couple of them are just basics, and then I'm going to move on to the. Have you ever tapped your foot during Mamma Mia? Have you ever had a toe tapping moment?
No.
Seriously.
I'll tell you why. I like ABBA. In fact, I love ABBA. I've got ABBA LPs and all.
Yeah,
sorts.
Yeah.
I tap my foot to those, but when they come on with, great actors. And I'm not going to lie, but then a load of drama school, I don't want to say dropouts because they probably aren't. They've probably completed their course, but drama school students in the background saying, look at me. It irritates me.
But the thing is, your point you're trying to make about Pierce Brosnan singing, right? He's not one of the main singers in the film. He sings two songs. He sings SOS and what's the other one? Name of the Game. No, not Name of the Game.
No,
Winner Takes It All. Yeah. And in fairness, he only sings half of that. So he sings a whole song in fairness, because he sings half of SOS and half... He's not the main singer.
But he's pivotal to the plot. He is pivotal.
He's pivotal to the plot, yeah, but his singing isn't.
But it's very distracting.
Well, yeah, the singing's crap. I'm not going to deny that. He sounds like an Italian singer who's got up at when they've obviously done a Judy Walters day and got very drunk. But I think the point is that it's Pierce Brosnan's singing is not the main point of the film.
No. And but it's very big.
But it's not that distracting, because you've got people like Amanda Seyfried, you've got people like Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep can sing.
Yeah.
So as can Amanda Seyfried, that's proved in Slipping Through My Fingers.
Les Mis.
And Les Mis as
and
well.
And Les Mis as well. She sings amazingly.
Which
in Les
I
Mis.
Will bring that up. I think in Les Mis, I don't think she is amazing. Her voice was far too squeaky for me.
A bit like helium.
Yeah. Yeah. It was too up and high. Yeah. She's better in Mamma Mia, but.
I think as you're basing your case on Pierce Brosnan singing.
No, I'm not.
But it makes it guilty.
As a mediator, I shouldn't poke my nose in. But as Neil was saying, ABBA songs, and I've said it a thousand times, are indestructible.
Yeah.
So, like you say, tapping your foot to an ABBA song, I think it doesn't matter. You could have a dog farting it, and you would still tap your foot because the songs are
so good.
So good.
Yeah.
That's irrespective of whether they're in Mamma
Mia. But I don't find me tapping them. Like I said, I got distracted with Julie Walters. Being pissed. when she's singing around. That end song, when she's singing with Stellan Skarsgård chasing him around.
You can't say that, can you?
What, Stellan Skarsgård?
That's near enough.
Stellan Skarsgård.
Well done.
Thanks.
When she's chasing him around, I mean, it's distracting because she comes across as just a pissed hussy.
I think that adds, to me, that adds to the comedy of the film. Because the one thing that I think we're also forgetting is, would you agree that this is also a comedy movie as well as a musical?
It tries to be, but a comedy, there's a rule that sort of goes around that a comedy should start with a 6-laugh average in a film. That's what a comedy should start with.
Yeah.
Tell me 6 laughs in that, proper belly laughs.
That hippie thing, the hippie, that's got to be one. I think.
Look like an old hippie.
Yeah, that one. I love that line. There's a bit. There are 6. I will find them now.
I don't want to drag you through. I mean, I'm just saying that.
But there are, because there are, although they're not belly laugh moments, I think overall you do end up chuckling for most of the film, because most of it is just quite funny. Even if you're laughing at Pierce Brosnan singing, I think that's not supposed to be comedic, but you do end up doing it, and it is just a funny film. In general, it's, and I think the other thing about this film, and I don't think it's about the film editing. It's not about it being a perfectly crystal clean Hollywood film, because it's not designed to be that. Mm. It was filmed in Greece, for crying out loud, but it's not designed to be that. And would you say that distracts you, the fact that it's not completely, because it's not perfect around the edges?
I can understand that film is popular by everybody that went to see it on stage.
But I haven't been to see it on stage.
No, but the majority of people, I would say.
See, if you saw it on stage, your head would probably blow off.
Oh, I'd be singing.
Wouldn't it?
I'd love it. Because it's just the fact that it just somehow makes you feel so good. I mean, because even if it wasn't ABBA songs, it would just still be, even if it was a different thing. The storyline, although simple and just does focus on Meryl Streep being a slut and Julie Walters being pissed, it's simple and it's effective as well. Because I think along the way you do have things which you can relate to.
Without the songs, do you honestly think that plot would hold up to a 90-minute movie?
It's only 9 minutes, actually.
No, but if you... If you took out all the songs... You think that plot would hold up for a 90-minute movie?
It'd be a crap night. It wouldn't be a brilliant 90-minute movie, but it would be interesting.
Be very dragged out.
But the thing is, I think what, not the songs do carry it along and bring it up a lot, admittedly. But I think there are certain things that you can relate to, like the fact that Julie Walters is pissed. You've always got that pissed auntie who turns up at parties and it just straight on it from the start and doesn't know where she is by sort of 8 o'clock in the evening. And then you have got that person who has had a few relationships, and that's that sort of. Then you've got the young lovers who are Sky and I can't remember Amanda Seyfried's name in it. Oh, what is it? I should have researched my case.
Brenda.
No, it isn't Brenda.
But
Sophie and Donna, that mother, and it's just, I think that's what carries this film. It's the fact that there are those relationships in it that you do recognise. There is that man who's still madly in love with someone who's Pierce Brosnan, and who's Sam or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Who has that thing that carries it through. And I think for me, it's the relationships that carry this film through more than anything, as well as the songs. Mm.
Nicely put, okay. Cam. Nicely put. So,
because I'm going to come straight back with a question.
Okay,
that's fine. Sorry, I'm not very good at the questions.
No, that's fine. Cool.
No, you've done very well.
I would say that being that it's a musical, the plot is almost irrelevant, because musicals, historically, even if you take Grease, hasn't got great plot.
Grease has a shit storyline.
Probably Chicago has got a better plot, maybe, that people could argue. And Rocky Horror, it clings in there. But it's not a great plot.
No.
So what I want to say to you, did you ever feel that musical, in comparison to Grease, I don't know whether you've seen Rocky Horror.
I've seen Grease, definitely.
Yeah, Chicago, maybe.
I've not seen Chicago. Okay. Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah, we could take that one. Did you not, in comparison with that, think Mamma Mia shoehorned a hell of a lot of songs in just to put a song in?
Yeah, but I agree. It does shoehorn a lot of songs in just because they could put it in. But I think that also is credit to the writers and of the stage musical and of the actual film to get that many ABBA songs in. And I think that also highlights the fact that ABBA are so brilliant at writing songs and that all of their songs can tell stories quite easily. But the way, and it's little things like the Waterloo when they're in the boat. I know that's only a little thing, but the water. And it's little things like that that carry it through. The I Do, they managed to get the wedding in there.
But they also wrote songs that aren't, well, they are. I mean, they were written by Benny and Bjorn, weren't they?
Yeah.
That aren't actually ABBA songs just for that film and well, stage musical that are in
what
there,
were they?
I can't remember what they're called. There is one in there, isn't there?
No, I think because I originally thought I Do wasn't, and then I went through and found
isn't
I
it
do.
The one that where Meryl Streep's brushing the hair of
slipping through your fingers?
Sophie, is that the one?
Slipping through your fingers all the time.
That one.
I can't remember now. I'm sure anyway, there I'm was sure one written. No, I don't know. Ask. Don't.
But the point is, it was It was written by a member of ABBA. So
yeah,
that,
but for the stage musical, so they're even shoehorning songs that aren't ABBA,
yeah,
quotation marks, into a film that's already rammed. If you were going to do that, make the whole thing a musical from start to finish.
Like Les Mis.
Bit different. You really can't compare.
What? So you mean like where they're actually like an opera, where they're talking, the singing?
Well, yeah, but you could have had it almost comedy. Why not? I'm just throwing a curveball out there. Because they've rammed that much music and music. No, not really. Because I will bring back another question to you then. That will make me not fail. Pierce Brosnan.
With a question mark on it.
Just a question mark.
Right. As I said earlier, though, it's not about... the film isn't based around Pierce Brosnan.
No.
No, but he makes the film guilty.
No.
He's not a great singer, obviously. The acting's good, though. His acting's quite good in this one.
And to be fair, yeah. I mean, I can't believe I'm doing this in sort of siding with Cam, but when it comes to the songs, do you not feel that the songs, I mean, I know that they've fitted the story around the songs,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously. But it works in that way.
Do you think?
Well,
I mean, I personally don't. I think that they've got the ABBA Gold CD and they thought, right, we'll make a musical out of this, which is fine.
Yeah, which
but
is
they what... didn't need to put however many 18 songs just to shoehorn ABBA Gold
I do slightly take your case.
It's just like, oh my god, here's another song. Another song. And I love ABBA. And even I was thinking after watching it the first time,
God,
crikey, they're putting them in, aren't they?
But I think, admittedly, I do take your point, is that they managed. I think there are some in there that are just there, like, did you have to have I Do as for the proposal? And then did you have to have Gimme a Man After Midnight when they're dancing on the table? Because little things like that, they're just singing it whilst he's partying.
And then Dancing Queen, I know it's the most classic thing, but it seemed a bit shoehorned in.
Yeah. I think, but it's things like...
And they even did it in the end credits, where they're dressed up in the 70s get-up.
But don't you think it's like they will look at the first verse of each song, and like you've got Julie Walters pissed again at the end, and she's looking at Stellan Skarsgård. And then she starts saying it, if you change your mind.
Yeah.
And you think, hang on a minute, they do it.
Earlier in the film with Chicken Tikka.
Chicken Tikka didn't actually have to be there. I'll give you that.
No.
I mean, that stood at the door. It was just so...
I'll give you that. Chicken Tikka didn't really have to be there because that could have just been a conversation and it could have saved a few minutes. They could have... Because 109 minutes, it's a quite a long musical film.
Well, yeah, that's... I mean, the length isn't...
I know, but
I think they
it's
could
not
have
all
worked.
About length,
no,
is it, Neil?
No, width is no. Hang on, wrong conversation.
Wrong conversation.
Oh wow.
Think they could have worked on plot as well, but I understand that. I think the reason it is successful is because everybody loves ABBA. I don't think I've met that many people that would turn around to me and say, "You know what? I really don't like ABBA." I don't think I've ever met them, and that's why it's successful.
Yeah.
And so as a film. It falls, if you sit down and really be analytical about it, it really falls short of entertainment. All you're basically doing is watching pop videos for the songs.
Yeah, but the acting, Julie Walters wasn't pissed when they were filming it.
Well, she did break her leg or something, didn't she?
Right.
But that so doesn't what, that, necessarily choose you. But I think, but Julie Walters is soft. Like Julie Walters' acting is really good throughout this film, actually. It maintains the character, and she actually, in some ways, carries the film.
Well, I must admit, and there's a couple of bits in it where I thought she was like, just like Mrs. Overall.
Yeah, Acorn Auntie.
And she actually brings some of the humour to it when she falls off the swan boat when she's gone out to it. That is funny. Mm. It's slapstick, but it's funny.
What's the song that they sing? I can't remember now. One, I call her the plastic surgery woman.
Yeah. Does your mother know? Does your mother know that you're out?
Yeah, well, at the beach bar.
Yeah, does your mother know?
No, see that? What's the point of that?
Well, she's flirting with the men. I can't believe that I'm defending.
He's flirting with her, isn't he? It's the other way around. Is it actually that funny? Because I found him bloody annoying with all the blokes behind him going, ooh.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck off.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Can we not have language like that in the court, bastard?
Sorry, I love it. But it really was. It was like, just...
But it was... Yeah! But that was funny, because I think in some ways that's because the plastic surgeon, I can't remember her name, God knows. Auntie Tanya. I know she didn't really have a point in the movie until Does Your Mother Know, really. She was just the other slut, basically.
Yeah. So it's actually like Macbeth, isn't it? They're like the three witches. Instead of being the three witches, they're the three sluts.
No,
because Julie isn't a slut. She's a...
She's a lush.
She's a hermit.
No, she's a lush. She's a drunk.
she's just pissed, basically. But I see the point in Does Your Mother Know. I think it's...
Not her flirting with the lad. It's the lad flirting with her.
Yeah, because she's trying to reject him. That's why she's saying, does your mother know that you're out? Does your mother know that you're trying to...
So they've just
get
shoehorned
in bed
with me? That just literally for the song.
Yes. But you have to have Does Your Mother Know in there.
Do you?
Because Does Your Mother Know is a classic ABBA song.
Classic ABBA song, but you have 18 classic ABBA songs?
No, because not all of them are classics. I Do, I Do, I Do is not a classic.
Well, I don't know. It could be debatable. It could be somebody's favourite.
Honey, Honey was not... It wasn't a massive classic. Stuff like Dancing Queen, stuff like... In fairness, this is adding to your case a little bit, but they did shoehorn quite a lot of the classics in there. Dancing Queen was shoehorned in there.
Yeah, what relevance did it have?
quite a few of the classic ones, like Gimme, 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 I'm Out of Midnight was shoehorned in just because it's a party. We'll put the Voulez-Vous was shoehorned in there again.
To be honest, every ABBA song is a classic.
Yeah.
Is the way I would look at it.
But there's some that have degrees of classic.
I understand what you're saying. Right, do you have, Cam, do you have any more cross-examining questions for the defence as we need to move things on?
I don't have any more cross-examining questions, no.
Thank you very much. And prosecution, do you have any more examination questions, cross-examination questions?
Yes, I do, my lord.
Okay, right.
Pierce Brosnan, ?
I feel that we've sufficiently covered
I feel we have answered this question.
I feel we have. So, if all of you are happy with your cross-examination questions and your answers,
I think so.
We shall move on. To your closing statements, I think this time we shall actually go to the prosecution for their closing statement first, please.
Okay.
Your Honour.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, I know a lot of people hold this film close to their hearts, and I know how popular it is, but I will strike it as being guilty still. And it's guilty of being just about the songs. Plot is irrelevant. If you think about it, like I said earlier, all you need to do is listen to ABBA Gold and enjoy them for what they are in their natural version without having to endure that lame story of the mother who is a slut, her friend's a pisshead, and the other one is a vanity queen. Do we really need that? No. We didn't talk much about it, actually. I'm just going to quickly break in. Anyone really didn't bring up Colin Firth.
Did he run in this film?
Did he run off with that bloke at the end?
Yes.
He does?
He's gay.
Right, okay.
Which bloke? What, Stellan Skarsgård?
No. He suddenly picks up a young boy. A young boy. a young man, I should say. Sorry.
Picks up a young man.
Yeah, suddenly.
Right.
Right, okay.
Because that's what he says. Because when he says to Donna, you are the first girl I ever loved and probably the last, and then turns to the guy and gives him kind of a wink.
And starts singing, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man.
Did you not see? I'll give you that. I'll give you that. That's quite funny. Because did you not see at the end when they're doing the...
Well, there's the two bikes, no?
But I was so sort of...
Because they were stripping off each other's clothes.
Oh, yeah, in the rain. Or yes, in the water. Squirted out of her hole.
Hey!
Hey!
Well, it did. Her crack. But... Anyway, that was just a bit sort of... Why? That wasn't really built on, was it? That just seemed to... I don't know.
Anyway. Add a little bit of plot for you there, Neil.
Yeah,
just...
Anyway, continue your closing
statement.
Shoehorned
another thing in. So anyway, so it's guilty of lacking charm when you can just listen to the original. And if you think I'm wrong on all of those cases, I will just say once more, Pierce Brosnan.
Thank you very much, Neil. Is that your case?
Yes, me honour. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Please find this film guilty.
And you rest your case.
I rest my case. So.
Thank you very much. That's the case for the prosecution. Now on to the closing statement for the defence.
What is his obsession with Pierce Brosnan?
I can play you that clip again if you want me to.
What clip?
Of him trying to sing.
Pierce Brosnan.
Right, yeah, I get the point. Right. I hope today I've made a valid case. This film is not supposed to be about the acting, especially Pierce Brosnan's. And to be honest with you, it's not supposed to be about the singing, again, especially Pierce Brosnan's. It's about the ethics of it. The idea is that you just have a feel-good film. In a world surrounded with misery and disaster, I think it's just a good film with a happy ending. This film is not necessarily a chick flick. It can also be a dick flick.
Well, I think that's what got the mother into trouble.
On that bombshell, that should be a T-shirt. That should be a T-shirt. Right, so is that your case there? Do you rest your case?
Yeah, I think I've won.
There's confidence.
Hand me the trophy.
I could see the confidence building as it went on.
And I should just knock him straight back into flames. Pierce Brosnan.
All right. Okay, so, dear listeners, it's now up to you. We need you to give us your verdict. So please email us on pancast@live.com or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/pancastpods or even tweet us at pancastpods. It just leaves me to say thank you very much to the defence, to Cam. Thank you ever so much for a wonderful case.
Cheers.
Thank you.
I think turned me
camp.
Turned you? I hope I didn't turn you. Dear God.
No, goodness me, not in a court of law. I shall be giving my verdict a little bit later on. Well, that sounds awful as well.
I was going to say, I'll watch out on my own.
All Colin Firth now. And thank you very much to the prosecution. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you very much, Your Honour.
Thank you very much. It just leaves me to say thank you to everybody. Thank you to the court. Thank you to
everyone. For listening.
And even thank you to Pierce Brosnan. And we should just leave one more of these. So that just leaves to say thank you very much. Please email us your verdicts.
Pancast@live.co.uk.
There you go. Can't you tell that Cam is a broadcaster?
At live.com, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Pancast@live.com. Or you can go to facebook.com/pancastpods and also twitter.com/pancastpods.
There you go.
You've been listening to Pancast Productions Movie Court.
You look like an old hippie.
That's the end of the show.
Thank you.
Improv we trust. Improv we trust.
Hi, I'm John Park, a resident guitar teacher at cyrusisterguitar.co.uk. If you'd like guitar lessons from beginner to advanced in most styles, please give me a call on 01285 640746 or 0781 456 56.